My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
This story is part of the Long-Legged Universe. If you want to see the full playlist, click the link in the description, top comment, or card on screen. For years, my soul has been heavy with guilt and fear. For countless nights, I've stayed dreamless, questioning whether my transgression could ever be forgiven. I've spoken to the village priest, I've kneeled down in the confessional, yet, whenever the time for me to ask forgiveness from God comes, I cannot speak. I cannot verbalize the nature of my sin. So instead, I come here, to this corner of the world made of wire and screens. Perhaps by sharing my story with the faceless choir of the internet, I will be able to find some amount of respite. I sincerely hope that by confessing to the masses, I will be able to rid myself of some of the guilt. But I know that even if I forgive myself for what I have done, the fear of what I have brought into the world will never let me leave. I have stolen a sheep from the Baba Yaga, and I have been punished accordingly. For most of my adult life, I was employed as a construction worker in Austria. The pay was better than anything I could get back in the village. Work came in manageable bursts, and during the winters, I could rest back in eastern Slovakia with my wife. We were trying for a child. We were hopeful for the future. One misplaced steel beam skewered all of that. After the surgeries and after the recuperation, I could work, but no construction would hire a cripple. There were odd jobs around the village, and my wife had taken to selling woolen hats on the internet. But most folk in rural Slovakia are handy with a hammer, and one cannot feed a family with hats. Our savings got us through the first winter, and the charity of our neighbours made sure we never went hungry. But time was running out. A second winter approached, and our neighbours' graces wasn't infinite. Every moment of my life, an alarm clock counted down above my head, steadily leaking dread. It is with that invisible clock, just a couple ticks away from my family going hungry, that I met the sheep. I was hobbling in the forest when I found it. Perhaps I was there to clear my mind, or maybe I was convinced that with enough walking I could cure myself. But regardless of what thoughts were drifting through my mind, as soon as I saw the sheep, my attention was singular. The animal stood opposite me on the dirt path, a chewed off rope dangled off his neck, and its eyes were as dumb as those of any other barnyard animal. But there was something about the sheep's wool that made the rest of the forest disappear. Without a second thought, I made my way up to the creature and stroked its fur. Like a soft summer wind, the wool caressed my palm. Somewhere in the cozy embrace of the comfort, a thought started to manifest. My wife could do wonders with this wool. "Baa," the sheep said, as if agreeing with me. I looked around. We were alone in the forest. There were no witnesses. Yet, before my mind stumbled down that dark path, my eyes drifted toward the rope around the sheep's neck. Someone had the sheep tied up. Someone owned the sheep, and the animal had simply run away. I bit down on my morals, grabbed one end of the rope, and led the sheep down the path to where it came from. I convinced myself that its owners would be happy that I brought the animal back and might even provide a reward. I convinced myself that I was doing the right thing. As we walked, however, I couldn't help but look at the sheep's ears. Neither of them was marked. The sheep did not have an owner, not legally at least. Baa, the sheep said, as if agreeing with me. The way from which the sheep had came was not an easy one to walk. The path turned jagged and steep, and for a moment I feared that my leg couldn't handle it, but I pushed on regardless. A voice deep in my mind demanded I do the right thing. After a painful climb, I reached the clearing on the top of the hill. Before the sheep and me stood the queerest cottage I'd ever seen. It was built of tile and logs, just like any other home one could see in the village. But the cottage had no front door. No door, and stood a couple meters off the ground on top of what looked like a giant chicken leg. In lieu of an entrance, there was a ladder that led up to the base of the home. A rope, chewed down to a stub, hung from one of the steps. My healthy leg went numb, thinking of how painful the journey up the ladder would be. "Is anyone home?" I yelled at the cottage in the sky. "I found your sheep." I waited and waited, but there was no response. The rope was beyond repair, and wolves were known to stalk the woods. I figured that the sheep would be safer with me. I convinced myself that taking the sheep back home was the right thing to do. "Baa," the sheep said, as if agreeing with me. When I walked inside our cottage, I took the sheep with me. We had no barn to house the animal in, and I feared that if someone saw the sheep tied up in front of the cottage, they might take us for thieves. Hiding the animal in the hallway, I went to prepare my wife for our new house guest. When I entered, she was ecstatic. While I was out hobbling the woods, my wife found an antique set of porcelain while cleaning out the attic. After a cursory glance online, she tracked down a collector that was willing to part with a hefty sum for the cups. I was excited about her money-making opportunity, but she was not excited about mine. When I opened the door to reveal the animal in the hallway, my wife was furious. She told me that I should have left the sheep where it belonged, that I should have stayed away from the strange cottage, that I should have kept to my own business. Yet, when I convinced her to touch the sheep, when she truly understood the softness of its wool, my wife relented. From those clouds of white, she could make hats fit for a lord. Combined with the porcelain money, we could comfortably scrape by through the coming winter. "Baa," the sheep said, as if celebrating with us. For a while, we simply ran our hands through the sheep's wool, bathing in our good fortune. But soon enough, a question slithered into the room. I do not know if it was I or her that verbalized the sentiment, but it was in the air long before it was said. "How much can you sell a sheep for?" "Baa," the sheep said, as if it too found the question interesting. At first, my wife and me simply guessed. We fantasized about what we could do with a sudden influx of money. Soon enough, however, the yearning for the potential money galvanized into a concrete need. With the hat and porcelain profits, we could scrape by. But if we sold the sheep, we could prosper. That evening, I left my wife alone with our soft house guest and made my way to the pub. Halshen, the portly general store owner, was quick with a price estimate, but he was even quicker to ask about the sheep. At first, I avoided the topic and told him I was merely curious about the economics of animal husbandry, but with a couple of plinker shots, he loosened my tongue. "Ah, Furco, you scoundrel," Halshen laughed as I finished whispering my tale. "And you say that the sheep isn't marked?" I nodded. "Well, aren't you lucky that I have a cousin with a stamping machine? He would be more than happy to help the sheep find a home, if a small finder's fee would be involved, that is." "How much?" I asked. €5, he said. "Nothing steep. It has been a hard year. All I'm looking for is a symbolic price. We'll even help you find a buyer." With a handshake, it was settled. With a handshake, I crossed the line from a reluctant good Samaritan to a thief. After a couple shots of plinker, we sat down with the woodsman. His wife had started raising sheep just a couple months prior. After a couple more shots, we had a buyer. The barkeep kept the plinker shots coming, and the closing time of the pub dragged along into the night. By the time we were finally asked to leave, all of the road lights had been extinguished. With borrowed flashlights, our ethanol-scented crowd started to stagger its way back home. Even in its drunkenness, the group moved far too fast for my hobbled walk. Soon enough, the other beams of light disappeared. Soon enough, it was just me, the village road, and the dark forest beyond. After months of worry, I finally found a moment of respite. In the euphoria of alcohol and sudden financial gain, I found myself happy. "Peasant, have you by any chance seen a sheep come through here?" The voice of an old woman creaked out of the darkness. "That damn animal chewed through the rope that held it. I sense that it might have come through here." There was a gentleness in her tone, as if she wasn't calling me a peasant as an insult, but rather as a means of stating a fact. I spun my flashlight searching for the stranger, but found only more darkness. "Are you deaf or are you a dumb peasant?" the voice asked, its kindness crackling. "Have you seen a sheep come through here?" I wanted to say the truth. I wanted to do the right thing and return the stolen sheep. But the alcohol in my breath had different plans. "No," I said. "I haven't seen any sheep. You must be mistaken." A pinch? Out of nowhere, I found my arms clasped between two rough fingers. "Liar," she hissed as she squeezed my skin. When my flashlight caught her, I saw a face so grotesque it gave me a fright. Her face was old, desperately old. Her skin sagged like that of a melted sculpture, and the thin wisps of white on her scalp seemed like nothing but a memory of hair, but it was her eyebrows that truly terrified me. On the wrinkled, pale face, they stood sharp and red and defiant. "I know you stole my sheep, peasant," the hag said, smiling with a few teeth she had left. "There is no need to lie to me. I know all, and I forgive all. For a price." The hag cackled, each rasping breath of air shaking her stout body. Even though the flashlight was bright when I left the pub, it started to flicker. It was as if it refused to be part of the bargain, as if the business of the sheep was purely concerning me and the darkness beyond. "What is the price?" I asked cautiously. "Oh, peasant, the price is a single kiss. I am but an old woman who misses the affections of handsome men. I will happily trade the animal for a memory of the past." I took a step back. My leg groaned the same way it did before a thunderstorm. "No," I said. "I have not seen a sheep, and I will not kiss you. I wish you a good night, auntie." I moved away from the mad hag as fast as I could, but a voice continued to creak through the darkness. "Silly peasant," she said, her voice turning cold. "A lie has short legs, but the punishment for one does not. You may never forget your transgression. May you never forget that you are a liar and a thief. May you never forgive yourself for rejecting my advances. I curse you, peasant. I curse you and everyone that you care for. May the whole village suffer for your misdeeds." The hag's voice echoed through my head, all the way to my front door. Yet, when I came home, I did not tell my wife. The hag's disfigured face, the strange eyebrows, her cruel words, it was all still sitting in my mind, and I could not bring myself to verbalize my worries. I also didn't want to worry her. The potential of the antique porcelain, and the wool, and the money from the sheep, it all made her so happy, so hopeful. I did not want to take that hope away. She tried to lure me in the bedroom with soft whispers, but my mind was far too scattered for romance, and my body was in no shape for love. Instead of joining my wife in bed, I stayed in the living room with our stolen woolen house guest and the antique porcelain. It had been a long day, and there was plenty to consider. Yet, as I sat there, with nothing but the crackling of the fireplace to keep me company, I started to relax. I'd woken up that morning as a man who feared the inevitable hunger that comes with poverty. But through a cascade of circumstance, I knew that the ticking clock above my head had been pushed back. With the antique porcelain, we would be able to put food on the table. And if I never told anyone about the hag, the sheep could still be sold to the woodsman. My life had taken an absurd turn. But sitting there, in the dim light of my cottage, I knew things would get better. "Bah," the sheep said, as if disagreeing with me. The creature was staring straight at me, But the barnyard dumbness in his eyes had drifted off and given way for a wholly different look. It was only through the flickers of the fireplace that I could see the sheep, but the emotion in his eyes was unmistakable. Behind the animal's slitted eyes, there was a raging, never-ending source of hatred.
"Baa!"
the sheep screamed as it started to lumber towards me. The animal no longer trotted like it did on the forest path. Its legs moved clumsily on the wooden floor, as if they were foreign to the animal. With a gust of light from the fireplace, I realized they were. The sheep was no longer standing on its old sheep legs. Instead, the animal's woolen body was balancing on a steadily growing set of fleshy slits.
"Baa!"
the sheep screamed, revealing a set of dull teeth and a dark rolling tongue. With ice in my veins, I simply rolled off the couch and moved towards the back door. What I was looking at was no longer a sheep. What was looking back at me meant me harm. Yet somewhere in my terrified mind, I hoped that if I opened the door, if I allowed the creature to escape, that I would be left unharmed. The outside world breezed in through the open door. The stumbling beast stopped and regarded the forest beyond the cottage. Its legs continued to grow, but the animal didn't take another step.
"Baa!"
it screamed, and then it craned its neck towards the open door. For a moment, the animal simply shook, its woolen body heaving with effort. But as the beast continued to strain its neck, its body once again started to change. At first, the growth came in small, staggered bursts, as if the sheep's neck was a tangled rope being pulled out of a well. But soon enough, the stretching of the neck became constant. The beast's malformed body was starting to press up against the ceiling of the cottage, yet its horrible maw was hanging out of the back door.
"Baa!"
the creature screamed out into the dark forest. I backed up against the hallway, eager to make my escape. Yet, as soon as I touched the door, the creature before me bucked. For a split second, I registered the sound of broken porcelain, but that tragedy became quickly irrelevant. The tall-legged beast stood directly in front of me. Its horrible jowls descended towards me. The look in the animal's eyes was unmistakable. It wanted me dead.
"Baa!"
the creature roared, sending out a torrent of spit that smelled of infection. The beast's entire body shivered with murderous anticipation. The fluffy woolen coat that had once brought me such comfort had transformed into clumps of mucus-covered hair. The creature dipped onto the wooden floor as it lumbered towards me.
"Baa!"
I knew it couldn't run. I knew that my crippled leg wouldn't carry me if I were to attempt escape from the long-legged beast. So instead, I chose to hide. Like a terrified child, I ducked beneath the table, and like a naive infant, I desperately hoped that the beast would simply leave. For a moment, among the broken porcelain and ill-smelling detritus, I almost believed I would be safe. But I wasn't. The long-necked beast swooped its head down below the table, and with one swift motion, overturned the piece of furniture. I was lying on the floor, in front of the beast, that looked like it belonged in hell itself. The skeletal limbs of the creature braced for attack. Its pale grey skin shed the rest of its woolen coat. I was about to be killed by a nightmare made of flesh.
"Baa!"
the creature roared, readying its jaws for murder. The universe nearly came to a halt. Before me, I could see the spite-filled eyes of the beast. I could see the wet teeth that were about to tear into my skin. But I could also see something else. The bristles of a broom. I watched as the rough strands of the tool scratched against the beast's wet, cruel eyes.
"Baa!"
the creature yelped as it wrenched its head. My wife hit it with the broom again. She swung away at it, screaming, demanding that the monstrosity leave her home. In a state of pure shock and blindness, the creature stumbled toward the door, smashed into the wall, and then ran out into the wilderness. For a moment, all we could do was stare out into the forest beyond. Then, my wife closed the door. Our once promised sources of wealth lay in the floor, broken and sticky. For a while, we mourned the loss of our newfound wealth. For a while, we tried to make sense of the madness. But eventually, we stopped talking. there was nothing left to be said. I had brought sin into our home, and we had been punished. My wife grabbed a broom, grabbed a rag, and we cleaned our floor of any trace of the stolen animal or antique porcelain. Neither of us slept that night. Sleep in general has not been the same since that night. It has been 2 years since I stole a sheep from that chicken-legged cottage in the woods. Yet, I still cannot bring myself to talk about it. I want to let go of the guilt. I want to carry on. But my transgression was not as simple as theft. If I had simply stolen something, I would seek atonement with the priest. Yet, the nature of my sin not only lie in breaking one of the commandments. That raving horror, the monstrosity which ruined my home, it is a being of pure evil, a being I am responsible for bringing into existence. For years, my soul has been heavy with guilt and fear. For years, I've searched for forgiveness. Yet, I know that I will never truly find it. My theft might have been forgotten, and the long-necked creature may have been driven away from the village. But I know that somewhere out in the Magura forest, the long-legged beast still walks. Until it is dead, until I can be sure that it can no longer bring harm to anyone, I will never sleep easy.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.